Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In most of the post-resurrection stories, Jesus has a problem that he must overcome. He must somehow prove to his disciples that he is real, that he is alive, and that he is not just a ghost. If he was a ghost, he would be an explainable thing, an it, something to be dismissed. But as a resurrected living man, Christ is something extraordinary, something to be marveled at, something sacred. In one resurrection story, he eats a piece of fish to prove that he's a real person. In another, he breaks bread. In this story, the one we have just heard, he does something quite strange. He allows the disciples to touch his wounds, the evidence that remains of his traumatic death on the cross at the hands of the Romans. There is a problem that has been plaguing me for some time, too. I suspect that old doubting Thomas may be able to help me figure it out. I hope so. The problem has to do with the Sacred Ally Quilt Ministry. You may recall that when I first had the idea to make the quilts that memorialize the dying words of George Floyd, I called it the Sacred Ally Quilt Project. Back in May 2020, my stated purpose was to show our black and brown brothers and sisters that there is a whole demographic of people here in New Hampshire that really want to be allies but don't know how. My proposal to the churches of New Hampshire, in it I wrote, "The nation is reeling. George Floyd, yet another black man, has been brutally killed by police in police custody. Pleading for his life, he was pinned to the ground where he suffocated and died. Our nation, already traumatized by the pandemic, has descended into a deep trauma. Riots, anger, crackdown, curfew. Racism is deeply entrenched in our country. How do we address this huge problem? How do we heal? One way to begin is to prove that racism is not the only reality. There is, for example, a huge demographic of progressive people who feel called by Christ to demonstrate that we are allies for our black and brown brothers and sisters. How can we meaningfully harness this energy?" My answer to the question, how can we harness that energy, was the quilts. Make quilts, symbols of love, to prove that there is an alternative to racism and that that alternative is love. I still think my idea was a good one. By engaging over a long period of time in the process of making quilts, we as a church, indeed 9 churches, would prove that racism is not the only reality. We good Christian communities would willfully and intentionally do the work to make that statement true. And we did this. We made the quilts. And making the quilts was just the first stage of the life of the quilts. Once they were gathered together, it became clear to us that we had created a powerful anti-racism tool. The project was transformed, largely through the prophetic vision of Dr. Harriet Ward, into a ministry. And the exhibit began traveling around New Hampshire and beyond. 2 years later, far from losing steam, the quilts are becoming more and more in demand from churches and institutions all over the United States. Everywhere they go, they create important transformative discussions about racism and racialized violence. We did this. You and I and Dr. Ward and Kathy Blair and quilters from 9 other UCC churches, we created this incredibly powerful anti-racism tool and ministry. Everywhere they go, the quilts insist that violence is not the answer. Everywhere they go, the quilts insist that God's love is real. Everywhere they go, the quilts insist that racism is not the only reality. All of this sounds good, but I started my sermon saying that there is a problem that has been plaguing me. So what is the problem? The problem may not be obvious to you. It was not obvious to me until it was pointed out to me. But it is quite obvious to any Black person who hears about the Sacred Ally Quilt Ministry. The problem is the word ally. The word ally? What could be wrong with the word ally? When we proclaim, for example, to be Ukraine's ally in their struggle against Russia, we are committing to helping Ukraine face their problem, the threat presented by the Russian military. Isn't that a good thing? Sticking up for the underdog, isn't that the morally right thing to do? But as Black theologians and activists correctly point out, the idea of white people allying themselves with Black people against racism is a notion that is rife with painful ironies. The first irony, of course, is that Black people somehow need white people to come and save them from racism. This makes it sound like racism is a problem that has its origins among Black people. And this, of course, is the farthest thing from the truth. Racism is not a Black person's problem. The sour, curdled roots from which racism springs is the sin of white supremacy. Racism is a white person's problem. So when white people show up to be helpful, it doesn't always feel genuine. Because sometimes, often, it is not. The danger, the very real danger of the term ally is that white people can use it as an elaborate form of denial. When I proclaim that I am an ally, I assure myself that I am absolved of the sin of white supremacy. How convenient. But this label, this credential, this smug self-assertion cannot support such a great trick. Ironically, this cheap absolution does more to perpetuate white supremacy than dismantle it, because my proclamation makes no real difference to anyone but myself. It is a performance that I use to congratulate myself, and while I'm busy feeling good about myself, the intransigent, cruel realities of racism continue to move unchecked through our culture. So when Black people see the word ally in the Sacred Ally Quilt Ministry, they probably don't receive the message originally intended, the message that racism is not the only reality, and that there is a huge demographic of progressive people who feel called by Christ to demonstrate that we are allies. For many Black folks that I have encountered on my travels with the quilts, the term ally is met with suspicion. It is especially suspicious when it is seen to be claimed rather than bestowed. We think of ally as an identity that we can claim, but Black people consider it to be a conditional possibility. You think you're an ally? We'll see about that. It remains to be seen. Let us turn now to the story of Doubting Thomas, the post-resurrection story from the Gospel of John that Vicky just read for us. This tale is generally told as a kind of allegory about the nature of faith. In this traditional interpretation, Thomas is understood to be a person whose faith is not so great. Jesus even says so. In order for Thomas to give his belief, he must see, or rather touch, the evidence. This morning, though, I find myself less interested in Thomas's faith. I am more interested in the wounds. In almost every post-resurrection story, Jesus does something to demonstrate to his disciples that he is actually alive, not a ghost. On a few occasions, he does something like eat a fish in order to prove that. In this story, he visits the disciples twice, and on both occasions, he proves his identity, his physical reality, by allowing his disciples to touch his wounds. Thomas, who was not present for the first visit, does not believe it was Jesus. He will only believe, he says, if he too gets to touch Jesus' wounds. The wounds. In this story, all the disciples, not just Thomas, are interested in those wounds, the holes in his hands left by the nails and the cut in his side left by the Roman spear. These are not just wounds, they are mortal wounds. They are the evidence of a murder. They are evidence that God knows what it is like to suffer and die, as only a human can suffer and die. The incarnation of God has not simply come to live among us. The incarnation of God has become completely human by suffering completely. The wounds prove it. This is different from a normal story about human suffering. In every other story, humans inflict pain, suffering, and death upon other humans. In this story, God is also present. Humans inflict pain, suffering, and death on God. The wounds are evidence of human suffering. The wounds are evidence also that of God's suffering. God is present. There is no credential here, no label, no smug self-assertion. God is fully present. The mortal wounds show this. On this day, 60 years ago, April 16th, 1963, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. finished writing the historic document that has become known as the Letter from Birmingham Jail. I have marked this occasion by placing two quotes from that extraordinary letter in the bulletin. In the quote that is on the back of the bulletin, Dr. King bemoans the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. One hears in his words the dangers inherent in the word ally. In the quote that I have included on the inside of the bulletin, Dr. King paraphrases the great Jewish theologian Martin Buber. Buber is famous for his book, I and Thou, in which he suggests that the great sin of humanity is our ability to see ourselves as I and others as it. When we see others as it, that is, less than human, we sin against God. When we bring God into our relationships, when God is present, then we relate to others, not as it, but as thou, I and thou. When God came to us and we touched God's wounds, God was present. It was a thou moment. My hope, my great hope, the hope that I am trying to live into with this ministry of the quilts, is that the adjective sacred modifies the meaning of the word ally in a meaningful way. When we named the quilt ministry, we did not name it the ally quilt ministry. We named it the sacred ally quilt ministry. When we modify the word ally with the adjective sacred, we insist that God be present. We insist that this ally is not about credentials, not about labels, and not about smug self-congratulation. In order to be sacred, this assertion of allyship must involve God. God must be part of the relationship. God, the God who is willing to be mortally wounded, must be present. Now, I admit to you that I am still in the process of trying to work this all out, what it means to bring God into my relationships with those who have been the victims of the sins of our history. All I know is that it is not enough for me to have good intentions. Allyship, sacred allyship, is an ongoing process of discovery. Discovery of the wounds that have been inflicted, discovery of God's capacity to do the mortally hard work that is involved in the process of healing. Let us pray. Dear God, we are aware of the great blessing of the incarnation of Christ, how you have brought your life into the world and brought your love into the world. And for this, we are eternally grateful. And from this, we bring the possibility of bringing you, O God, into all of our relationships, making them sacred.